You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham.
Do tax incentives work to draw business and create jobs to the point states actually recoup the investment and bring in more tax revenue? Well, the answer is it depends on the incentive. When cities like Detroit and states like Michigan are foregoing millions or tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue, or in a couple of cases preparing to offer incentives in the billions of dollars, a lot of folks wonder, what in the world are people in government thinking? I was reading in Governing Magazine about some recent research out of North Carolina State University, which looked at all of the incentives offered by 32 states from 1990 to 2015. That basically covers 90% of incentives for the whole nation. Leading that research was Bruce McDonald, an associate professor at North Carolina State, and he joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what did you want to learn with this research?
Our goal was to really get an understanding of how financial incentives impact fiscal health. We know quite a bit about what drives a state's fiscal health, but in terms of kind of understanding that impact of financial incentives, we really don't know too much. The literature and the previous research out there on financial incentives has been predominantly focused on the economic side of things, and even that's relatively sparse. Yet states have a tendency to make these large offerings, and so we really just kind of wanted to understand what kind of impact those offerings really do have for the people and the governments that offer them.
So people haven't actually looked very carefully about whether there's even economic benefit with these incentives?
Unfortunately, they haven't. There's been some studies over the years that have looked at different aspects. Usually they focus on a part of the product that the incentive brought into the state. Did it impact the employment level? You know, something kind of along that kind of line. But they are one-off situations rather than a broad understanding of what the incentives actually do for the economy.
So in that case, what kind of factors did you use in determining whether incentives work?
So what we did is we looked at four different categories of factors that are going to drive a state's fiscal health. This would be the governmental characteristics of the state, the political environment of the state, its economic environment, as well as its demographic characteristics. And then we then kind of imposed the financial incentives onto that set of factors in order to derive out the impactors that the incentives are having.
Well, let's jump to the bad part. Well, what sort of incentives seem to be the worst kind of government investment in private enterprise?
Unfortunately, it tends to be the incentives that are related to research and development projects.
So like tax credits.
Exactly, which are things that we would usually kind of expect. We have a hope that R&D products are going to have a large payoff. But if we think about what types of businesses and types of projects are done on the R&D side, there's a huge risk for the business as well. And so that risk really can be pushed back over to the government side. That is, they're costing the state fairly significantly in terms of their fiscal health and stability.
You also noted that property tax abatements weren't all that great.
Right. So if we think about property tax, we can use the abatements to make it a little bit more feasible for somebody to come into our communities. But that's also a large chunk of revenue that local governments and state governments rely upon for their budgets. When things go bad financially for the state, it's property tax, which is going to be the most stable form of revenue. And so we're basically removing that stability that the state has to rely on. So ultimately, it does have a fairly negative impact for the state.
A lot of state incentives are tied to job creation, although Michigan has failed in follow-ups on some of those incentives. That is, they didn't always claw back the incentives when the jobs never materialized. What did your research reveal about job creation tax breaks?
Job creation tax credits are probably the one unique area of financial incentives that actually pays off for the state. And part of that is when the state is incentivizing business to employ more people, there's an immediate payback to the state itself in terms of income tax revenue coming in. We've removed the person perhaps off of whatever state-funded programs they've been on in the meantime. And so there's a fairly direct and fairly significant impact that the job creation tax credits have that no other form of incentive really does.
I probably should have asked you this earlier, but of the 32 states, was Michigan included?
Michigan was included. So Michigan overall is a kind of middle-of-the-ground state in terms of financial health. You know, not doing great, but it's also not necessarily doing too bad.
There's the argument that government incentives are not the highest priority for corporations. They look at things like whether there's a skilled labor pool, the cost of labor, the corporate tax rate, quality of life in a community. All of those things seem to be more important according to one ranking. Are states putting too much emphasis on incentives?
That's a tough question to answer. We know businesses pay attention to the incentives. And all things being equal, the incentives can be the determining factor. We think of an instance like Amazon HQ2 from last year. One of the factors that got incorporated into it was Amazon was going around looking at the quality of life, looking at the environment as well, because they want to be able to bring people in to work in that area for the company. But as New York found out when they pushed back on kind of saying, we're not going to give you the incentives like we had thought we would be able to, you know, Amazon had the capacity to pick up and leave. And so it might not be the only factor, but it is certainly a factor for the business as well.
So we talked about job creation tax breaks. What are some of the best kinds of incentives a state could offer that would pay off in a good return on investment and keep the state healthy?
Unfortunately, the only one that does have a payback for the state is the job creation tax credit.
Huh. So bottom line it for us, are states and cities competing with each other to attract these businesses to their own detriment?
Oh, absolutely. I think part of it is the argument that politicians feel like if they don't go into the competition, the public is going to be displeased with the job that they're doing, and so that we almost kind of, from the political standpoint, have to do the incentive. But that at the same time, it is hurting the people back in the states and the districts where they are from, and so maybe it's not necessarily the best idea for them to do in the first place.
What do you think would happen if a state decided, you know, we're going to rein in everything except for these job creation tax credits? Would that work?
I think depending on the state, it would help. And so the largest amount of tax credits that we see typically take place are along the East Coast, where you have states heavily competing for businesses that need some type of international access. So North Carolina versus South Carolina for auto industry, for example, or North and South Carolina versus Alabama, where there's an ocean where they can ship the cars and vehicles out, bring in the parts they need, but it also gives them access around the United States. And so it wouldn't necessarily require one state to kind of stop offering incentives. You would need to have several of these major players to stop offering incentives.
We've seen some regions in a state that will work together. Several towns or several counties would work together and not compete against each other for the same thing, that thinking that the just drawing the plant to the region would be beneficial for everyone, right? So Could states do that? Can you imagine, Great Lakes states binding together and saying, look, you want to put a plant here? That's great. We're not going to compete with each other to do that, though.
I think it would be a good thing for them to do that. There's a lot that the Great Lakes states have to offer outside of just financial incentives. You know, there's an amazing workforce. You have a great climate. You have strong cities. You have a fairly vibrant culture. You have things that large businesses are looking for when they're trying to make those decisions on where to locate. And so saying, you know, here's the rest of us, let's pay attention to that, can still appeal back to some of the businesses as they're trying to make that decision on where to locate or where to expand to.
Well, I'm always a skeptic. I can't imagine that actually happening, but I like the sound of it anyway. Bruce McDonald is an associate professor at North Carolina State. He was the leader of a research team looking at the value of tax breaks and other incentives to lure or retain businesses. Thanks for telling us about your research.
Oh, thanks for having me on.